Hey, everyone, and welcome back to FYI with Daniel and Glenda. This is episode 2, and we are super excited about having you a part of this podcast. Today is going to be just awesome. I'm Daniel Scott, your host. And
I'm Glenda Walker, your co-host.
Yes, and we have an awesome show ahead, and I'm going to give Glenda a chance to tell you what it's all about. But first, I just wanted to absolutely thank everyone that took the time to go and give us some feedback.
Yes, thank you.
Oh man, even the positive criticism that we received, it's going to be so impactful and powerful to make this podcast so much better going forward and being able to provide you with so much useful information. I mean, I'm super excited, aren't you?
I am super excited. Again, the feedback has been amazing. It's been positive. It's been critical, but in a positive way. So we are appreciate all of you listening and all the feedback. Keep on giving us the feedback because it can only make us better. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. We are super excited and we want to thank you again. And like I said, we're already charting on Apple Podcasts. That's just huge for us. And
God, y'all. I was so excited about that. He sent me an email. I was like, what? Is that good? He was like, yes.
After the first episode.
Right.
And then we just got so much more juicy good stuff to tell you. So it's only going to get better from here.
Exactly. So today's show is amazing. Amazing. Our last podcast, you know, I mentioned to you all, we are ending Women's History Month. And in my old corporate world, I used to be co-chair of our Women's Business Resource Group. And I was always passionate about sharing stories about women and women in business because that was my segment, business. So today we have two amazing business owners.
Absolutely amazing.
To end Women's History Month, two successful women in business. So first, we have Peridot Davis Chambers.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
And we have Ms. Elise Golfin of Magic Hair Boutique.
Hey, everyone.
So we are going to allow our guests to share their stories. We're just going to talk about some pitfalls and successes in business that they've had. And we're just going to have a great conversation. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. And actually, I just want to say how lucky I feel being the only guy amongst these three geniuses
who
in
runs
this
the world,
room.
Girls. I mean, who runs the world?
Girls.
Yes. I am feeling the energy. I'm feeling so motivated. So I'm really excited to hear you guys' story. Really.
So are y'all ready to get started?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about it. So our first guest, please introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background of your story.
Okay, my name is Elise Goffin. I'm originally from New Jersey.
Al up north, girl.
Yes.
Hey.
Uh-oh, another northerner.
Yes. I came down here in 01 at the school. I went to hair school down here, graduated, and I was still working a corporate America job because I was taught, like, if it don't pay the bills, I can't do it.
Okay.
So for a long time, hair didn't pay the bills. So I had a regular corporate job. I worked 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Saturday, Sundays, I did hair. So those was my happiest days, was when I was on Saturday and Sunday. But on Monday, I had to go right back to the office. So
right.
I'm like, well, I just can't do what I do them 2 days all day,
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't my time. So I was still on a grind. And then I was working at this one corporate job for 5 years before I decided it's time to take the leap. And it was crazy because I went to, this is me all the way in the deep end, so y'all probably have to bring me back.
Because
I'm going to have to be all the way in Family Feud.
The deep end is where our roots are.
But see, that's where that's where the motivation came from, because when I had went to Family Feud,
the real Family Feud?
Yeah, with Steve Harvey, yes.
Oh, shut the front
door. I was not on the show.
Me, you know.
No, okay. I wasn't on the show. I was just an audience.
Oh, well, that's even good, too.
But it was the being in that circle to hear the message,
uh-huh.
to apply it to my life, to make me know that what he was saying to us behind the scenes, it was like confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so crazy because they set me away from my group that I was with. So I was in the front. So I was just like, wow, this is so cool.
And my seat filler seats.
Yeah, so I'm looking in the back at them like, oh, y'all, okay. But, yeah, I felt like he was talking to me because, of course, my hair was all different colors. I felt like, you know, I was just standing out. But he was like, your gift is something that you do effortlessly. So, for me, that was done effortless. So, for me, I just get up and just do it. So I took that message and applied it to my life. And then I was like, you know what? I'm ready to make a change. I'm apply. And I auditioned to go work overseas to do hair. I won out of hundreds of girls. So they flew me to, well, I had to get to Europe. And then once I got to Europe, I went through the training school. They trained me how to be successful, how to be sharp, how to be punctual, how to wow, how to deliver, how to be the person that I am today. So when I quit my job, my mom was like, I hope you know what you're doing. I hope you got a plan. I'm like, I hope I do too. I hope you flying over to London is a real school out there. I'm like, it really is. It's real girls. It's real. Like
you're not getting scammed, right? Yes. You know, our parents and then our family can be always overprotective.
So yes. She was like, I hope this is real because you're quitting your job to do this. So I did. I made it through school. They sent me to go work on a cruise ship to do hair. I did that for 6 months. After I left, came back in 2011, I started working at different salons in this area, and in Buckhead, Marietta, Douglasville, DeKalb, everywhere. Just putting my work in, I guess, paying my dues. Mm-hmm. Trying to meet with the other stylists, trying to know how to run a business because I know how to deliver the wow, because that's one thing that Europe taught me how to do, is to deliver the wow. Because I remember when I couldn't please women, and I was like, I don't want to do hair. This is too much to please someone. Right. But when they taught me how to deliver the wow, it made life so much easier because now I'm wowing people. So it was like, all right, this is confirmation. So working, still working. I was still in other people's salons working. I wasn't bossed up just yet. Mm-hmm. Still getting a regular check. But in my mind, I was like, I'm doing what I love, so I don't mind. So I always say it's hard for me to find people like myself that don't mind working but doing what they love to do while they're working.
So what was that defining wow moment for you?
Once I made it. Because right now I'm still working. But in my mind, I made it because I'm doing what I love.
Gotcha.
So it didn't even matter of the level of success.
It's yours.
Yes.
And it's yours.
But still when I was just working at other people's salons and getting paid commission, still splitting. Like I'm bringing a company $2,000 a week and I'm getting only $1,000. And I was okay with that because in my mind, my mother told me to keep a job. You got to keep a check. You got to keep the money flowing. So in my mind, this was my business partner. And even though I'm his employee, this is my business. Because we always was like, every time we got paid, it was like, nice doing business with you. Because in my mind, they didn't never meet no one like me that can bring them this much money this fast. Mm-hmm. And they was like, we want you to train the girls. They started flying me to different cities, from Miami to Alabama to Jersey to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So you're really worldwide. Yeah, you're a worldwide. You know, you hear people talk about that, but you really
no,
are
and
worldwide.
I really don't feel it until I call people that I know that live in different countries,
right.
And I know them from working on the ship, from going through the same experience at schools. Because I know girls from all the way from Germany to Jamaica, so that I done connected with. Like they are like my sisters.
Yeah,
so
you're international.
You know, yes. It's an interesting perspective that you just mentioned, and it was like ding ding ding, is the way you said that although you were working for other people, your mindset was I'm going to eventually be doing this on my own, so I'm looking at these as partnerships.
Yeah, we
and
were.
That's a
and
very
being an employee.
And being an employee.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's
this was business.
Right.
Mindset to have.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I'm bringing y'all a lot of money and y'all now taking me outside of y'all salon and saying, hey, I'm going to take you to this salon. Do what you do here. Show these girls so they can have that. But see, they needed me because they haven't met no one like me before that done seen a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And I already seen the bigger picture. So it was like to get other girls to see a bigger picture, it was like, yeah, y'all gotta just stay down until you come up. Because they was like, but you giving him half your money. But I'm like, but he's bringing all the clients.
Right.
All you have to do is come in, do your talent, do what you love.
I'm paying marketing.
You just coming in, getting your check, and getting out of here. So they let me work there. They let me work there for 5 years before they really felt like I was ready to go off and do my own thing. So it's like, if they never probably fired me, I probably would still be working there because I was so comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because it was so easy. But they knew that I was already great. So they're like, she got to go. She going. She, because I was already doing our hair outside of there. But I never brought the two to conflict. Mm-hmm. I never brought my
so
clients.
So you was doing hair on the side. And you was also doing hair in the
side. Yeah, because I was taught, I got to keep a job. That's
and
the job.
Side hustle.
And I got to have some more money coming in because that's not enough.
Right. So you built clientele in the salon and then built clientele outside of the salon.
So by the time I left the salon, it was a lot of clients that I built that wanted to come with me, but they couldn't really find me, but they started searching. So some people found me, some haven't, but some I run into some people now. So I quit my job. I was working off Thornton Road. That's how I found this location. I was getting off of work one day, left the salon early, cut through this little spot. I didn't even know. Somebody else showed me this little cut because I lived over here by the post office. So I was like, oh, this is nice over here. I never even knew this was over here. I was like, this is nice. I was like, I wonder if they got a salon over here. And they didn't. So I was like, oh, this is probably the spot for me to start
inquiring. You felt it. When you drove through, you felt.
I was, because it wasn't no other body doing it.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me see if I can.
And that's when we met.
Yeah. So I called it harassing Daniel every day, every month, for a year until that spot became available. And that's when I tell people just.
And so when was that? How long ago was that?
That was 6 years ago when we first started talking. 5 years ago.
6 years ago.
Yeah, because she started talking about it. Yes, she started asking me about the space 6 years ago, and then she moved into the space 5 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this year makes 5 years we've been there.
Speaking personally, I have watched this lady transform her shop. I mean, your growth has been, you know, slow and steady and just how it should be. I mean, it's, you know, I've seen her working 2 o'clock in the morning. I've seen her working 6 o'clock in the morning. I've seen her working at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, that is the dedication that it takes when you own your own business.
Yes.
So
it's never a day off.
Congratulations for being in business five years. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's what I just started my first marketing for coupons that I put in Kroger's. This is the first year that I ever decided to do that. So the guy who was coming to interview me and, you know, to sell it to me was like, well, you're doing something right if you've been open 5 years.
Absolutely.
I'm delivering the wow and just, you know, meeting people's expectations. But it's definitely hard work. But once I got this spot, I was still, you know, building my own clientele. So I quit the salon, building my own clientele from home. So a lot of my clients came from my house. Mm-hmm. So that's what a lot of my clients came with me from the bottom. Like, I'm like, y'all remember we was at the house doing this? They're like, right, Elisa.
Yeah.
We was at the house.
Started from the bottom, now we here.
Yes. Good times. And just to see the loyalty of my clients, too. Yeah. That's where I'm at now, because they so loyal.
Absolutely.
And it's been 5 good years. Every year I'm progressing. Every year is better. I never went down a year. Like, far as finance part, I'm growing every year. So that lets me know
you're doing something right. But I want you to hold that thought about, you know, you progressing every year, because we're going to kind of talk through those stages of business. But Elisa just shared that she paid her dues and started working for others, treating it as if it was her own, and then eventually opened her own business and is flourishing today. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
you.
So
now we're going to kind of move over. The great thing about these two guests is that they are business owners in two vastly different industries. So we have Elise in the beauty cosmetology industry, and now we have Perito, who's in the plumbing industry. So, Perito, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you, Glenda, for having me, for asking me. This is phenomenal what you guys are doing. I'm just kind of going to piggyback off of how you started. So, moved to Atlanta from Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, back in 93, got my psychology degree, thought I was going to be a psychologist. It was too overwhelming, so I worked in daycare for a while, then I taught school. I was a school teacher. I taught special ed because my degree was in psychology. I did that for around 3 years, kind of got burnt out there. My family's big in real estate, so I got my real estate license. I was a real estate agent for almost 10 years.
Wow.
Years. Wow. And then I met my now husband, who is a plumber. And how you say you were working for someone else. So I was doing my real estate full time, and I came and was working in his office for a while. Then we got married. We had a daughter. I was stretched out. I was trying to balance being a real estate agent and trying to learn this world of plumbing. I could not do both. I was mentally exhausted every day. I was burning the candle at both ends. I couldn't take it. So I did. I had to let real estate. I still have my license, but it's just it's inactive. But I mm-hmm. can, I keep it. It's current, you know, just inactive at the moment. And I had some great ideas with my teaching background and psychology background. So 2009, I opened a second plumbing company with the vision of education kind of at the forefront. Really wanted to educate our team members, the young guys that were coming through. We have a great team of guys, and those that had the plumbing skill already were fabulous, but those that were helpers or wanted to learn, we didn't really have a training program. So I remember the day that one of my guys was like, man, Miss P, this plumbing thing really has me wide open. I really want to be a plumber, but I can't find any training. Mm. Now, I was new to this field of plumbing. I have great business sense. I'm great with the numbers, so I could do all that. But when it came to the actual plumbing field, I had to educate myself. So joining the associations,
nice.
The plumbing mechanical associations, the quality contractors, quality service contractors, all these organizations that I could feed into and learn how to run a successful plumbing business. What tools do you all use? What resources do you have to propel your company forward? So after doing that, I partnered with the local Plumbing Mechanical Association, and we opened our own in-house plumbing academy.
So before you get there, what mm-hmm. I want the listeners to understand is Peridot was in several industries and decided to kind of piggyback and pivot and partner with her husband's operational expertise in her business and psychology expertise and come up with a company. But what's important, what Peridot said, is that she reached out to industry resources. She took advantage. One of the big things with any industry that you're in is being a member of the industry, those partners, because she took the time to educate herself. So when she said, I'm leaving real estate and I'm leaving all this stuff and I'm getting into plumbing, I'm all in. I'm taking advantage of the resources out there. So people, keep that in mind. You know, you may not know it. It's okay. But
just like they always say, your network is your net worth.
Exactly. But there's tons of industry groups and industry associations that I recommend everybody at least join one of them to be a supportive.
It's a game changer.
Okay, great.
It's a game changer. They are the reason we can be so successful. They keep up with the trends. They have conventions we go to twice a year. Then we have smaller groups we go to twice a year. So I'm able to sit in rooms, you know, like this. Matter of fact, I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Arkansas for one of our other partners. They have a plumbing company in Arkansas. And it's seven companies of us. We meet twice a year. We sit and have a round table for 2 days and just bang it out, have brainstorming ideas.
Nice.
Okay, what's working for you? What's not working for you? This is trending right now. This is hot. This is
and
not.
So instead of Peridot looking at those people as competition, which is really, you know, that's really kind of a killer to your business when you look at another business as competition. Instead of her looking at them as competition, she's looking at them as allies and resources. And because I'm telling you, with at least you in the beauty
business,
industry,
yes.
You know, you're not going to go through the only thing. Other salon owners are going to go through the same thing. But how do you get past that? So being able to come together and talk about your challenges and how do you get past things will help the next business owner. So good. So I know I threw you off with the training. So talk about the training and how when you started, you said, okay, we're going to train some people to kind of help us be successful.
I wanted our company to be set apart. I didn't want to just deliver plumbing service. I wanted the wow, because in all of the conventions, it's the wow factor. What is the wow? So I wanted us to educate your customer. You can't educate your customer if you don't know what you're talking about. Or you may know what you're doing, but how can you articulate what you're doing well enough to speak it and explain it to someone layman terms so that they'll be able to understand? That's mm-hmm. what I wanted to come from there. And I wanted our customers to feel that we weren't talking over our head, that we were involving
nice.
Them in the process, because your customers are everything. If you don't have them, what do you have? So and this was back kind of in the phone book days, even before
the
reviews hit. Yeah, before the reviews hit. So good thing it did, because that builds your customer service. Yeah. Your customer care is number one. So now that when we came into the internet, the reviews, yes, stage, Google, mm-hmm, and we can get good reviews because you already have that track. We're already doing the work. So we have our plumbing company, we have our school, which right now currently is just serving our team as plumbing apprentices, but as of 2 weeks ago we got our foundation papers, and a trade foundation. We really want to blow it up and go into the high schools and reach more young people other than just, you know, those that are with us. But it's going to take some time for it to evolve.
Nice.
We started that groundwork. And then we also have, we have the Quick Action Plumbers, we have the Quick Action Trade Foundation, and then Quick Action Management Group, which also does government contracting. We got into government contracting back in 2016. No, yeah, 2018 we got into government contracting. So what happened in plumbing, so in addition to joining all the associations, in Georgia you can get so many certificates. Okay, you can get minority-owned certificates, yeah, you can get woman-owned certificates, you, yeah, can get Cobb County Business Certificate, City of Atlanta Certificate. MARDA, Georgia Minority Supplier Diverse Council Certificate.
This is free game, y'all. Perito was talking about different things that you can get to set your business aside.
So I got every certificate that was out there available, including the 8A certificate, which allowed us to do government contracting. But what happened, as we were serving some of our local contract holders, we would just do plumbing, but we deliver great service. So they would say, well, you know what, while you're here, you had to cut that wall up. Can you just throw that wall back up? Can you add the flooring? And can, yeah, you do the lighting? And can you do the electrical? And can you do this? And can you do this? And can you do that? And through our relationships, we did have relationships with all kind of vendors, construction vendors, you know, general contractors, because a lot of times we would be their sub, mm-hmm, you know, their plumbing sub. So now we can call them and say, hey, we have a client that we need your services. Now we need you to be our sub. So it's all about the relationships. The relationships are key. You take care of your people, they'll take care of you. So because we have those relationships, we were able to deliver now really turnkey projects where we just started off plumbing. It's kind of evolved. It's still in the same general space, the trades, but we just open it up. We can really kind of cover all of the trades because we have those partners and resources, and we've evolved now. We even have I call them team members so much, not employees, because I feel we're all a team. No I is bigger than X. We all have a job to do. When one doesn't do theirs, it affects the other one, so we're one big team. But we do have a licensed electrical, we do have a licensed GC that is a part of our staff, part of our team, so we're able to deliver large, sizable contracts to the federal government as well as local work within the Georgia space.
So what Perito just talked about, she mentioned a couple of key things.
I want to jump in, but I want you to finish.
Go ahead, Daniel.
No, but I don't want to take us in the wrong direction, in another direction, but I go ahead and finish, and then I'm going to come back.
Because there's something I wanted to ask both of you.
We're both, kind of shaking in our chairs. Yeah, she's just saying something.
I'm like, oh, I need her number.
This is why we're together. She mentioned relationships. I know this word has been thrown around a lot, and it can be cliche, but this lady here just spoke to the value of relationships and how it has kept her in business and got her additional business. So when you're in business, relationship building is very key and important to the success of your business.
If people like you, they want to do business with you.
They're going to refer other people to do business with you.
Yeah.
It's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. And every relationship will serve its purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, it will.
Especially in both these industries, if people trust you, it's hard to earn that trust with a new person.
Well, these ladies are both dealing with some key important things. Yes. Elisa's talking about hair. Listen, women in our hair.
Right.
Let me tell you, if The crown is the glory, whether it's short, long, bald, whatever. It's the glory.
Not only women, I happen to love my hair, okay?
But see, women, hair is key in Elisa's industry. And then in Peridot's industry, if your pipes go out in your house and you can't take a shower, or you can't do dishes, or you can't run some water, you can't operate and move in your house. So two vastly different industries with very, very high purpose.
Both needed.
I want to take us in another direction because, you know, I'm a technology guy. So I know there were things that you mentioned about training and stuff. And I think that as entrepreneurs, we tend to get comfortable with what we know and the way things work. And then as new things approach and make our jobs easier, sometimes we find ourselves working harder and not smarter because we're not taking the time to learn the new skill or the new technique for that industry. So as a techie, as a guy who believes in, you know, utilizing technology as much as possible, what technology in your fields do you say, I can utilize this and help grow my business or use it to...
Or how has technology helped you advance in your field?
How has it helped?
So
I could speak to that because of one of our partnerships with the QSC, Quality Service Contractors, woo-woo to them. We were at a convention, I think it was in California years ago, and a startup tech company by the name of Service Titan so happened to be there in the vendor marketplace. And I always make my rounds, and there were a few companies that had a one-stop shop. It's like a web-based software system that literally acts like a human being. You can take calls, you can dispatch, your technicians can arrive, they can complete their jobs, all the pictures are uploaded into the jobs, it tracks, that customer will track every time that we've been to their jobs if we want to add memberships. I mean, it is so robust. Now they even have it to where automatically it'll send a link for the customer to do a review. They can take payments. This company has evolved so since we first were introduced to them back in 2018. They are a billion-dollar company. They've had so many investors invest in their company, but they're like the number one leading technology software within the service industry. Now they're expanding over into other industries, but that little teeny tiny software saved my life, because before they came along, I had a software we could schedule calls, but it was so not sophisticated. We would still have to text the guys their calls because we knew the way that the world was going with technology,
right?
We were not going to continue with this paper and pen from us, you know, much longer. So we got a first scheduling software, and then 2018 when this came, it literally changed the game. It's like having another person.
Wow!
It takes the place of really one body in the office collecting all this data. I mean, a person still has to answer the phone and enter it in, but it houses it all there so we can track it. If a customer calls us 10 years from now, which I still keep records, I still have everything in file cabinets because I still have a backup old school, scared if the cloud collapses or whatever. But until that happens, or God forbid it does, I can just their name in, everything pops up. It's a game changing.
So it's basically
software.
Like a CRM, a customer management system.
Yeah.
It's a CRM.
Yeah, so and great. It sounds like it has a little AI built in it, artificial intelligence with the
artificial intelligence.
The responses, the auto responses. That's cool. I was just curious about how you guys utilize the mm-hmm. technology, and because a lot of people are afraid of it, you know, and in my world, you know, I'm constantly having to take training on new things mm-hmm. because the technology evolves every 3 to 6 months. So it's always keeping it on top of
that.
So
at least I know in the beauty industry, technology has changed, because you used to have to call to say, hey, can you fit me in next Tuesday at 3 o'clock? So kind of talk about how technology has helped.
It has
you.
Evolved. Because it makes everything so easy now, is it's just a click of a button to book an appointment. But you still have the old school clients who want to call and just say, hey, can you put me in? I'm like, can you go online? Oh, I don't know how to work that stuff.
Listen, I still have clients that want to fax me something. And I'm like, who, what? What's that? So I know what you're saying.
So I'm like, you're going to just go online. It's simple. It's easy. But some people, I'll work with them. But most people, they get it. Click it. book it, come on in. Simple, it's easy. So technology have evolved, especially for bringing clients to me because I'm on different apps, paying to promote myself, to get new clientele in. So it has helped me because I don't have to do too much going to Walmart, passing out cars. I don't have to do too much hustle and bustle anymore.
The marketing right. aspect of mm-hmm. it, which is another key factor. You have to have that online
presence.
Yeah. You have to have that. Your reviews are everything.
And my reviews is helping that now because I'm at like 4.9.
So it's funny. So we kind of talked about before we kind of got started recording, we kind of had some pre-discussion, and we talked about a Google review that Peridot's business had that it kind of piggybacked off our discussion during podcast session one, where we talked about, you know, if somebody had a bumper sticker on their car that said, you know, bring America back again, we all know what that means, you know, would that kind of limit their business? Well, this particular situation...
Well, we won't go into the details of the review of what it was, where they were at.
Yeah.
We don't want to get too much into that, but...
Yeah, but to share how... You know, you're the business owner and you have to pay attention to these things and what they mean. Overall, she was able to get a Google review removed because somebody gave her a review and didn't even have her service. They were just upset at the client that she was servicing. So paying attention, their personal views made them go online. And I think there's some big thing where people are doing that now, but and that's going to happen. You cannot stop that. But as a business owner, she took charge of her business and she put a handle on it to say, wait a minute, I'm not going for this and I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to contact everybody who I need to contact and give them supporting data that this was never my client. So they shouldn't even be giving me a review.
Yo, it's so important to own your business on these social media platforms and on these search engines, because I see a lot of businesses, and it shocks me, sometimes large businesses that still have not claimed their listing on Google or Yahoo, and people are leaving reviews, and it's like
reputation management.
Google doesn't know.
I know the first thing when I'm deciding to do business with a company or looking for somebody to do business with, I pull them up. I read the reviews. Me I'm too. A review person. Now me I know too. There's some noise in the reviews based on our discussion, mm-hmm. but I'm reading reviews. So to be a business owner, stay on top of your reviews and things like
and
that.
And know this, that Google and Yahoo and other search engines, I just use those because those are the dominant platforms right now. But they have done a really good job with algorithms and preventing people from writing false reviews or you sending somebody that's not a verified buyer or service, you know, purchaser. Don't be afraid of the reviews, but own the reviews. You know, you definitely respond to them, even the positive ones. Like for my companies,
I don't know why. Yeah. I just feel like leave the review, let the next person know about it.
Oh no. Like I love when reply. I see the owner's review.
I don't ever reply. I mean, they all great reviews. I probably got two bad, two people that had a problem, but out of everybody, 4.9, I don't ever reply to nobody because I feel like,
oh no, you should.
Yeah, because
you would make me feel really good. Yeah. So anytime I've had a business reply to my review, I was like, oh, that's so nice. Okay. So just think about the impact that to make that person, yes, that make them want to come back outside of you being very good with your hands and doing what you do. But just it made me feel warm and fuzzy when that business owner replied to my Google review. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And I was not expecting it.
Because honestly, I don't do it to know. I have never done
Try it once and just see the reaction that you get from it and then kind of make a decision from there.
And I love to see when a business replies to somebody else's review. I'm just like, okay, they're paying attention. Because I'm a big Yelp reviewer.
But I'm just not, like I tell people, I got to do the hair. I got to run the business. I got to market. I got to advertise. Yeah. I don't have time to sit there and reply. If it's great, great.
Yeah, thank you.
Let them know. Yeah. Tell them, come on, bring a friend.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank y'all.
There's a lot of hats to wear when you're running a business.
We're
marketing, we're your financial. Janitor. We're the whole C-suite,
it
right?
Is.
So
that's
it can be overwhelming at times.
Social media managers really don't cost that much money.
And so it's certainly something to invest in. Because I think Perito and I kind of had a discussion about that, getting a social media manager, even if it's a college intern or college student, you know, somebody to kind of help you through that process, because it can be overwhelming.
Or you can hire me.
Or you can hire me.
No, but seriously,
someone to reply back, someone to do those.
Absolutely, yeah. Because it does make a difference. Like I was last year, I was a Yelp Elite reviewer because I was reviewing every single place I went to, and I will tell you that out of the thousands of reviews that I did on restaurants or stores or whatever, I probably got 10% response back from the owners. But the 10% that I got back from the owners, I was like, okay, I'm going back there. Yes. Because they're paying attention.
It's just the icing. It's the cherry on the sundae.
It is. And if they're paying attention to something that small, then they're paying attention to everything in their business.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
But you have to. Yeah. Because there's too many businesses in your lane.
Yeah.
To not be.
That's right.
And you want something to set it apart. So for us, I want to go over and above and wherever, all the areas. So something will set you apart somewhere.
Yeah. And that one little thing, again, there are, I'm not going to say a million, but there are a whole bunch of plumbing companies and a whole bunch of stylists and salons. So that whatever that one thing is to set you apart, and something maybe as simple as a thank you for your kind words, or thank you for you know, leaving a review. See you next time.
I'm going to give everybody a great website that they need to have as a business owner. It's Fiverr.com.
Yes, Fiverr
is amazing. F as in Frank, I, V as in Victor, ERR.com. There is a individual looking to do anything and everything. They can create logos for you. And I mean, at little cost.
They can redesign these are all website. It's all like contractors that are there. And you'll kind of load your project in, and then they'll bid on it, or you could put what your budget is for it.
Absolute. I have used them so many times and had such great experiences building websites, creating logos. You can even hire social media managers on there.
Yes, and they've helped with FYI with Glenda and Daniel.
Yes, that's where we went for our podcast cover. So, yeah, it's absolutely one of a must-have resource.
Yeah. So
thank you for that nugget.
Absolutely.
And audience, thank Daniel for that nugget. So we kind of talked about a couple things. We talked about paying your dues and doing the work.
Yes.
We talk about pivoting from different industries and getting into a new industry and learning the ropes from that new industry, taking advantage of resources, joining industry associations. We talked about a little bit about training and development and how important that is. Ladies, what I want you to do now is kind of share, you've both been in business for quite some time. Share something that you would do differently. What I know then, you know, what is the saying?
Well, actually,
if I knew then what I know now.
Before you do that, can I ask them one question?
Yes. What's that?
Okay. Do you both have business plans?
Yes.
Yeah. So would you agree with me that your business plan is a living document?
It
and evolves and changes.
And breathing and it evolves. And until you get that plan, you're not going to reach that plateau.
Yeah.
Once I finally put it on paper and got my projections, it's like I exceed my projections. It just keeps on. You have to have that. You can tell yourself, I need to do this, I need to do that, but it's like seeing it on paper, and then you can assign what needs to be assigned, where it needs to go, and as a small business, and make it work.
Yeah, as a small business consultant, I'm telling you, that's the one thing that deters people. Once we sit down and do our initial consultation, I say, do you have a business plan? And they say, no. I said, well, you need to create a business plan. When you do come back and see me, you would be surprised at the amount of people who don't come back.
Yeah, and even for startup businesses that come to my business looking for financing, mm-hmm. I need a business plan. Mm-hmm. And kind of think of a business plan like, I think vision boards are the popular thing on a personal side. Yeah. A vision board kind of, you put something down and you vision this thing happening. A business plan for your business is like a formal vision board. You kind of put it down, and they say when you write it down, you're more apt to do it. Mm-hmm. That's the importance of it. It's a roadmap of how you run your business, a blueprint. It is not set in stone. And I think that's where kind of people get a little bit discouraged, like, okay, if I put it in a business plan, it has to go this way. No, it changes. It's a living document. You should look at your business plan once every 6 months, at least, because it can change, at least.
And I think I haven't looked at mine since I opened.
Oh, you should go back.
Only because I done exceeded everything on that piece of paper.
But
I done over exceeded. Now I don't need a business plan. I'm like so focused. Like
no, so once you get so far, you can change the language. So I don't call mine at this point a business plan, but it's just a strategic growth plan.
Yep.
And we do tweak our strategic growth plan annually, because if you're meeting with whoever you're meeting with, they may want to know, especially another partner.
That's the only person I'm meeting with, and she's telling me we going up every year.
If you want to grow your business, so imagine what you did in 5 years. Now you go back to your business plan, you look at it and be like, okay, I check, did that. Now what's next? What's the plan for the next 5 years? The next 5 years. Then your exit plan.
But this is my exit plan. Me opening the salon was my exit plan, because I done won awards. I done traveled the world. The only thing I didn't do was open up this salon. So, like I tell my family, this is my way of retiring. This is my exit.
So good. So when I say exit plan, I mean, how are you transitioning out of that business?
You know, hiring girls to do it for me.
But that needs to be written down. Have a plan for that.
That's why I said I done exceeded all of it.
Yeah.
I done even took it to work on set to do hair. Like, even I didn't even think my business can take it that far. Working for Lifetime. So for me, I done exceeded. So for me, it's just like, now just maintain.
You living in the glow.
Just maintaining. Yeah. Now we just running.
So look,
more clients come on.
And we're all about resources here. So look, you can go to sba.gov and download a free template, and it would help you start your business plan. It's very easy. You just fill out the questions, and that's a good place to actually start your business plan.
And then even if you download that template from the SBA's website, in every metro area, the SBA has a small business development center. So Google SBA development centers, and they will review your business plan and give you guidance on that business plan for free. So people, there are plenty of resources, not only to help you start your business, because once you start your business, you want to stay in business. So even if you're 5 years in, 10 years in, still put a plan down.
Okay, so I took you there. So
yeah, he made me pivot, y'all.
I'm rolling back because I got in trouble for this. I got in trouble for this from somebody on the last podcast, and I apologize. I did it again, but I'm rolling like a merry-go-round. I'm coming back around. It was from what then? If you knew then, what you know? If you knew now, what you knew then, or whatever the saying.
Say it again, Parano.
If you knew then, what you know now.
Right.
Exactly. So, ladies, let's speak to that. Something in your business that you would do different, you may not do different. Like,
I would have joined the organizations much earlier.
Gotcha.
I would have joined them like spot on, because they give you, you're in a room with 200-300 companies that do the same thing you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. They're not local. So there's not competition. No one feels competition. Everyone's sharing freely. So I wish I would have done that early on. And it probably would have propelled us to where we are now much faster. But everything in time, I mean, we're still in a fantastic space. But that I would have joined the associations like day one.
Okay. At least?
For me, it's probably kind of hard to see what I would have done, because this was my first time opening a business, so I was falling right before I was opening, you know. So I was learning before, you know, so it was a lot of falls. But I probably wouldn't hire stylists like myself to work for me, because they're like me. They expecting the big check. You know, they're not fresh out of school. They're not learning. They're here because they want the money, not the skill, or, you know, like what I'm trying to give them, the education behind the hair. So I probably wouldn't hire no one that's like a master stylist, probably someone more like fresh out of school, someone that I can take under my wing and show them the way. Because the first year I had hired a lot of people that was like me, and they came, they gone, they took a few people with me, with them. But that's expected, because I know I done took a few people right. from other salons.
Right, that's
too.
The cost of doing business.
It just comes with the business. Because like I always tell people, the people are loyal to the stylist, not the building.
Right,
they have a connection with the stylist.
And then, when I was in banking, I used to say people don't bank with banks; they bank with their banker. They bank on relationships.
Yes, because I had a guy who was for 5 years my best friend. He was from the islands, and every time I go in, it was like a relationship.
Yes.
So now,
would you say you're more in the nurturing mode? Like, would you're like you want to nurture people up coming into the industry?
Being that I know what level I'm at, I can't hire no one on my same level. I have to hire someone that want to grow up to that level.
Right.
You know, because they'll look up to me, they'll work for me, they'll help me. They're not going to try to take from me because, you know, they're learning. They don't know.
Right.
So I know now I have to go back to the school to get girls fresh out of school. But my client's like, oh, we want people that know. We don't want no one learning.
Well, maybe just kind of looking at it as having some diversity, having a mixture. Because diversity is always key. Diversity on your balance sheet, diversity, you know, in your portfolio, diversity is key. So maybe figuring out a way to mix the two together and go from there and see how that goes.
Yeah, because I had a young girl that was in high school and they used to love her just because, you know, they know she's in high school coming in from school doing this just for fun. So they did like that part of it. Like, oh, they always ask about her, like, how's she doing? I'm like, about to graduate this year. She doing good. But I just know when I'm hiring, I got to hire fresh out of school. Still just new people wanting to learn and the love behind the hair, not the money. Because the money is going to come once they see the love of the hair.
Right. So, I think that's with anything. You know, if you love what you're doing, the money's going to come. Because I know people that make a boatload of money that are miserable.
Yes.
And I think they say that, when people are looking for jobs, money isn't everything. I believe that. Yeah, you still got to pay your bills. Let's be clear. You still got to cover your basic overhead and your lifestyle. But money is not everything. So once you have that love and that passion, and people always say, Glenda, I want to open my own business. And what do I do? I'm like, what do you like to do? What do you love? I ask them that first. What makes you warm and fuzzy inside? You know, the word passion, that's kind of overrated, but what makes you warm and fuzzy inside? Then when you find that, you can kind of go off from that. Now, once you find that, can I make money from that? You know, right. Is it a problem that I'm solving? You know, you have to solve a problem. So is it a problem that I'm solving and then put it on paper and then go from there? So
piggybacking off of what you're saying, for me coming from the education to real estate and now to the plumbing construction, those were all people serving industries. I guess I was just born to be a servant of people. Mm-hmm. I love people. I want to solve your problem. So it was easy to pivot into, because I'm still serving just in a different lane. I still want to deliver. I still want to help, you know. So it's just finding that passion in. For me, it did. It just happened to be the server of people in a different lane. And I also have to say thank you to Glenda. FYI, okay, so now I'm going to really pivot. Relationships, right?
Yes.
And you never know when you meet someone how, and even in your friend circle, you meet someone, you like them, you click, okay, boom. And so that's what happened with Glenda and I. We met through a mutual friend, Kim, of ours, not even knowing when I first met Glenda that she was a VP of banking where she came from. And we were growing. We were experiencing this burst of growth, and we needed a bigger space. We still have our initial building, but we needed like a bigger building to house our equipment and our materials. One, because they were housed behind our building in this container and someone broke in and $30,000 insurance claim, but that's another story. But we were like, we got a house out of
insurance. She had insurance.
We had insurance.
Go ahead.
And they took care of it. But just the thought, we just felt so violated. We're like, man, we really need a bigger spot because we're getting all this stuff, all this equipment, all these materials, we need to really house our property, our equipment and tools. And the building right next door had come up, it was for sale, and they were also friends of ours, and they had their business on the market, a 14,000 square foot warehouse. We were like, oh my god. First it was like, oh, that's too much space, but maybe we'll grow into it, but we could still use it because it's literally right next door to where we are. And we made offer after offer after offer after offer. Finally, make a long story short, they accepted our offer. Now we need the financing behind it. We were currently with a bank I mean, we were with the bank, our current bank, and they missed my debt. They missed the closing date.
They was giving
I'd been with them over 10, 15 years, great relationship, but they were just kind of giving me the runaround, exactly. And I think we were just talking one day, and I mentioned it to you, and you're like, why didn't you call me? I'm like, well, I didn't even think about it. And she said, well, send me your stuff. And I sent her all my stuff, my financial, and I do pride myself. I'm a numbers person, so that part I get.
Listen, she sent me her financials, people. I think I mentioned this in episode one, having your financials ready for your banker. But what is important that Peridot is saying, which may even open up to a whole nother episode, is share what you do with your circle, with your friends, with your acquaintances. And I know it can be a little sticky because you don't know if that person is going to hold your information privately and not share and, you know, gossip about, you know, what you got going on. But if you hold the client first and do business like you're supposed to do, you present yourself well. We have fun. We go out, drink, we party, we have fun. But then we talk about business. So I'm appreciative of Peridot because she took the chance that, yes, we party together, but I'm going to give a chance with Glenda on this business. And had I not shared what I did with her, that never would have happened. Right. So promote your small businesses in your circle. Promote your career in your circle. Promote it to anyone you meet because you never know when they're going to need you. And I told, and I'm kind of saying what I say, if I can do something, I can do it. If I can't do it, I can't do it. So I told Peridot, I said, I could do this. And I end up giving her a better deal.
First of all, they missed my closing. I was 30, 31, 32, 34 days past, into this closing situation. I was maybe 10 days outside of my closing date. By the time I called Glenda, she reviewed my stuff. She was like, girl, you're good. I can have this done in 10 days, but I'm going on vacation. No, I can have this done in 10 days, but I'm going on vacation, so give me 14. I was like, yes. You can. So she came. Before she left, she did something. When she got back, boom. I mean, we closed. It was a seamless, painless transaction, and I love Glenda for taking that. I mean, I was really stressed out, so I thank her for that. And my current bank was trying to put me in an SBA loan. She was like, you don't need an SBA loan. You can put this down. You can get this. She gave me she gave me a killer interest rate. We qualified, but she got me the best deal possible. Right. And even I'm still true to this bank, even though Glenda has gone on. I miss it so much.
But I'm still here, so I'm still helping small businesses grow.
She is phenomenal
RMSI, yes. Relationship Management Solutions, Inc. I'm still helping
she
them.
She is still helping, but she put me in a phenomenal position. I'm still with that bank. They still honoring, our line of credit. And because of her, I switched. Well, I kept my old bank just because you got to have everybody everywhere. I kept my own bank, but the new bank is now, that's where most of the
that's where her lending is. Relationship
that's
is.
That's the lending relationship.
Again, the value of relationships, value. So we're coming up to kind of the ending of this. So before we end, ladies, I want you to kind of just give the listeners one piece of advice. I mean, it can be anything. One piece of advice in helping them navigate through this business world or maintaining their business or starting a business, whatever you want to. Leave them with one golden nugget.
Go big or go home.
I like that.
If you can't step out there and wow your customer and do it right, wait until you can, because you only get one chance to make that first impression, and bad impressions go a long way, and they travel
longer than good.
They travel too quick and too fast. So if you're not ready, wait until you are ready, and then make your first step so you can make that great impression and wow your customer.
Right.
Great advice.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I would used to say fake it till you make it, but now I would probably say stay down till you come up, because if you stay down, the up is going to be the best life part, the good life. So you have to stay down, even though you might not see. Like today, I had one client, but I didn't give up. Right. I didn't lose hope. I didn't say, this is not for me.
You still slayed that one client's hair, right?
To the gods.
All right.
$30 tip.
Exactly.
Wowing the clients.
Right.
So it's not about the quality. It's about the, I mean, it's not about the quantity. It's the quality. Right. So it's not about how many clients you do. It's that one is all you need. And then one of them was a director for me who blew me away and put me in a different position. So another check from a different side. Just stay down till you come up.
That's the key of relationships. Again, so there was a common theme in this
Absolutely.
Discussion.
Wow, your customer.
Wow, your customer.
And relationships.
And relationships.
There you go.
Yes. So, ladies, I don't think the listeners quite give the listeners again your business name and how to reach you and you know, let them know how to find you.
Quick Action Plumbers, we can be reached at 770-948-7988. Thank you for listening.
Magic Hair Boutique, located in Lithia Springs. You can reach at 404-671-2617. And I'm on IG. You can book online 24/7 at Magic Hair Boutique.
All right. Awesome. We could probably sit here forever.
Yeah, these ladies have amazing stories. We probably could have sat here another 2 hours or have another episode.
I think Perino and I are soulmates because she was taking rabbit holes just as much as I take rabbit holes. So I don't feel so guilty. I know. You see, that's what I'm saying. You got so much information. You just want to spill it out because you know you got an hour.
Right, because I didn't even get to the second year, third year, fourth year, or fifth year.
There were things that I wanted to talk about, like turning obstacles into opportunities and things like that. But you know what? We'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll have to have these ladies back. And it doesn't have to be Women's History Month, but we'll have them back for part two.
Absolutely.
But everyone, please let us know your feedback. If you have any questions for our guests that you like us to forward on and get them to answer, please do that. And how do they do that?
Yeah,
Daniel?
So listen, you can find us everywhere. We are on every major media
y'all.
Platform. We have the same handle. It's Daniel and Glinda, at Daniel and Glinda. So it's at Daniel and Glinda on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. Our website is www.danielandglinda.com. I mean, you guys, you can find us. We do post all of our polls and our questions on Twitter. So please go to Twitter and answer those because we do want to give those responses and results on our next episode. And I would also like to mention that we are going to be dropping our podcast now on Tuesdays as opposed to Fridays.
Okay.
Because we feel like Tuesdays are better days than Fridays because Glenn and I are getting ready for the weekend and go have a little fun. So we don't want to mess with work. But yes, no, thank you. Thank you again for all the responses. We do appreciate it. And like I said, please follow us on all those handles because it's so important. And hit subscribe. Even if you listen, there's a subscribe button wherever you listen. Just hit that subscribe button. It notifies you when our new podcast drops, and you can listen to that one as well. And thank you again to our guests.
Thank
you guys were awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. So until our next episode, let's talk about it. Good night.